Tonight we have a very important topic to conclude with. It is the greatest topic that we could discuss this week. And I always feel inadequate when I deal with this topic, to talk about the nature and character of God. And certainly, as we saw last night, the one area that all religions, all cults break down at is regarding the nature of God. They all have false concepts of God, and that's why it is so important as Christians to understand the nature of God. We also live in a culture today that seems to be attacking God in every way they can, and we certainly have seen that in the marketplace of ideas seeking to remove God's commands, the Ten Commandments, out of the public square. We see it with individuals who want to remove the name of God from the Pledge of Allegiance. And in fact, I read recently in Florida of an atheist who became incensed over the preparation of Easter and Passover holidays, and he decided to contact his local ACLU about the discrimination inflicted on atheists by the constant celebration afforded to Christians and Jews with all their holidays, while he said the atheists had no holidays to celebrate. And the ACLU jumped on the opportunity to once again pick up the cause of the godless and assign their sharpest attorneys to the case. The case was brought before a wise judge who, after listening to the long, passionate presentation of the ACLU lawyers, promptly banged his gavel and declared, "This case is dismissed." And the lead ACLU lawyer immediately stood up and objected to the ruling and said, "Your Honor, how can you possibly dismiss this case? Surely the Christians have Christmas and Easter. The Jews celebrate Passover and Yom Kippur and Hanukkah, and yet my client and all other atheists have no such holiday." And the judge leaned forward in his chair and simply said, "Obviously your client is too confused to know about, or for that matter even celebrate, the atheist holiday." The ACLU lawyer pompously said, "We are unaware of such holidays for atheists. Just when might that be, Your Honor?" The judge said, "Well, it comes every year on exactly the same date, April 1st. The Bible says in Psalm 14 that it is the fool who says in his heart, "There is no God." Foolishness. The Greeks said that the greatest activity of man was to think. And they said the greatest thought that any man can think is to think about God. Tonight we want to do what the Greeks said was the greatest activity that man could do. And that was to think about the nature and character of God. And it's an important issue, as we have seen this week, because, as I said, every cult, every religion breaks down in their concept of who God is and having a low view of God. A.W. Tozer, in his classic work, The Knowledge of the Holy, a book I highly recommend, in the introduction to his book, he says that worship is pure or base as one entertains high or low thoughts of God. That what you think about God will determine how you worship on Sunday mornings. He says we all tend by a secret law of the soul to move toward our mental image of God. He also says that idolatry is not simply worshiping a stone image, folks. But in fact, idolatry is any concept of God that reduces God to less than who He really is. There are many people in America today that are involved in idolatry, even in churches, that have a very low view of God. And as Tozer says, we do the greatest service to the next generation of Christians by passing on to them, undimmed and undiminished, that noble concept of God which we receive from our Hebrew and Christian fathers of generations past. He says this will prove of greater value to them than anything that art or science can devise. You see, what we think about God will ultimately affect everything else in life. And the problem is that many people today have a very small concept of who God is and a very inadequate view of God. And this is actual idolatry, as Tozer says. When I was going to the university and majored in religion, I took a variety of courses, and it's interesting how humanists try to study God. I took courses in the philosophy of religion, the anthropology of religion, the psychology of religion, the sociology of religion. These are all man's attempts, beginning with himself, to understand God. And this is where we come up with many of our aberrations, whether it be monism, pantheism, deism, the Mormon concept of God as simply a man who's been evolving, the Jehovah's Witness concept of God that is non-Trinitarian. They all seek to reduce God to less than who he is. And you see, one of the problems is that man, beginning with himself, in trying to understand the infinite eternal creator, can oftentimes come up with God, concepts of God far less than who he really is. You know, at the end of the 19th century, we had a group of philosophers and scientists, men like Friedrich Nietzsche and others, who declared that God was dead. There was no God. You know, it's very interesting if you study 19th and 20th century philosophy that those individuals who declared that God was dead, there was no God, it's very interesting that they never once disproved the existence of God. But what they did at the end of the 19th century was they basically set up a definition of reality which was so small that God did not fit. And for many at the end of the 19th century, they said, the only reality is what I can observe and what I can experiment with within my three-dimensional box of science. And they said, you know, if I cannot put God in a test tube, and if I cannot put God in an algebraic formula, they said, then God does not exist because God does not fit my finite three-dimensional box of science, what we call the philosophy of naturalism. Now, it's very interesting that these individuals never once disproved the existence of God. They simply defined God out of existence by limiting themselves a priori to this very small framework of understanding.